This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Following you with Jake and Amanda, emailing your questions here. Starbucks broke a golden mic. How do I text the girl I like? Follow you. The show starts now.
Nice. A new take on a classic.
Yeah, it's short and sweet, but ultimately nice and fun to have.
It was good to dance to.
Yeah, I saw you got up and you were wearing assless chaps and you made that booty go clap.
And chapless ass. An assless chap to show my chapless ass.
So you mean your ass is just moist and without chap?
Yeah, you don't chap. There's no chafe, there's no chap, there's no crack. It's all smooth ass.
Do you have a hairless ass or do you have hairs on your ass?
I have a hairless ass. No hair on the ass.
I have a relatively hairless ass, but I feel like there's some hairs on the ass, and then I'll also get zits on my ass.
You get, where? Like on the cheek?
On the cheeks.
The lower cheek, where the cheek meets the thigh?
I'll have some on my apple bottom butt and some on my peach fuzz.
Your badonkadonk zit.
So I'll twerk it and make you work it. I'll make you pop that zit, then reverse it.
Do you ever make it clap, Blumenfeld?
I will. So I've tried to make it clap, but it ends up just popping the zits in between my ass cheeks.
That's right. Yeah. And you look at it too, because you can throw it back and look at it.
Yeah, I've dropped the thun, and then it sort of the pus starts trickling down my thighs and my chapped ass.
I wonder if that's a cyst instead of a zit.
It is. So my assistant has
your
a
ass
cyst.
Your ass has a cyst, and that's the assist.
Yeah, my assist has assistant, and then that's what sort of pops and pusses every time I make that booty go. Take
who
that.
Wrote,
rewind
who wrote
it
the
back.
Goddamn theme song? Okay, that's enough. That's enough. This bit's disgusting.
You did 80% of that. You
this
said
foul.
Cyst.
It's more than enough.
Luke's,
I got a little bit of freedom. Huh?
Luke says he's a day one listener and he wanted to give a theme song a go. Nothing to plug, but call me anything you'd like. P.S. Go Bills. So thanks, Luke.
Go Bills.
Hell yeah. We're back on the Zoom, back in the room. Sunday, May 24th.
Zoom room.
You got the virtual background of a protest rally. What is that?
Yeah, this is an Open Up Michigan rally that I found online.
Cool. And my background is a Reopen Huntington Beach rally in which the citizens of this small Orange County town are declaring that they've had enough. Enough is enough. And they want to get their hairs cut.
I agree. I'm frustrated as well. I wouldn't go to a rally. It's not my place. It's not anyone's fault. You're rallying against a disease.
Fuck COVID, the disease.
Yeah, I also hate it. I agree. It's weird that I don't think that society should reopen, but I really want it to. Is it weird to want the same thing as these protesters?
Yeah, just not the way they go about it.
Yeah, the way your methods are wrong. But the end goal is, I do agree that society should be open. That's a better way for the world to be. I like
so march with us, brother.
I shouldn't even be here at the rally.
You're wearing a full hazmat suit. Did you see there was a hairstylist in Missouri that got 90 people infected?
Oh my God, that's so fucking funny.
So they reopened it on May 12th, and he or she, it said the stylist, but I don't know if it was a male or female, was not asymptomatic, but rather quite symptomatic, but they powered through. And as they cut people's hair, of course, they would talk, cough, laugh, and snort.
You have to talk to your barber.
So you'll rain down the disease on the patrons, and 90 people got sick, including 7 coworkers. So that's what we're dealing with.
There was a time where they didn't have the spritz bottle, so they just sort of chugged a Dasani and sprayed their droplets onto their customers' hair.
Yeah, like the blue canister that they used to put the combs in.
The barbicide.
Yeah, the barbicide works on the comb, but not necessarily on that person's lungs and throat.
Mm-hmm. It's too bad.
Anyway, I could go for a haircut right now, but if I did, I would do it outside, and I'd be wearing a mask, and as would my stylist.
Your stylist.
And actually, my stylist pen would also be wearing a mask.
I didn't know you had a stylist. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
All right, this is
if
I were you.
If you could get a haircut right now, like what would you ask for? The classic? Or would you do something a little different now that you've grown it out so much?
Yeah.
It feels like a new style could be.
We might as well take advantage of it. I found a really good, I was searching for a photo on my computer, and then I found this photo shoot that we did with HeadGum t-shirts. Mm-hmm. And it made me miss having a haircut. I had a nice haircut in that. So part of me just wants to like show somebody that photo that I just texted you. Ooh, and have that cut once again. Maybe a little longer on top.
That's a hell of a cut.
That's a great cut.
That's a hell of a cut. And a long beard. This is like right before, I believe this is right before we went to Australia.
Oh, because my beard is super long?
Yeah, I remember that tour in Australia where you had an insanely long beard, and I think like on one of the last days you went to a barbershop and got it trimmed.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's a good feeling.
We took it for granted. Mm-hmm. All right, this is If I Were You, an advice podcast hosted by me, I'm Amir.
And me, Jake. Hi.
Got a funny email even before questions of somebody commiserating with my Spectrum internet woes.
Oh, I actually would love an update because there's been some stuff happening, right?
Yeah, well, not quite. And I will, let's read this email and hopefully it'll illuminate a few of the strategies that you suggested that I do.
Okay, let's hear it.
So this is written by a guy named Joel who lives near me, actually. Joel writes, "Hey, Amir, I too was enticed by the seemingly blazing speeds of the AT&T fiber network. You might say I was looking to get a lot more fiber in my diet, but AT&T had hoodwinked me too. I live in Echo Park, near me, and for years, Spectrum had been the only network that could reach my house. But this week, AT&T installed fiber in the area, so I ordered 1,000 megabytes from them and was honestly smiling to myself all week, thinking of how fast my internet would be.
Smiling
I get this
to
guy.
Myself.
I waited patiently for my I'm in a good mood this week. I waited patiently for my appointment. I prepared the house. I prepared myself. On the day, it's more than fair to say, I put on my Sunday best, and I stood at the door like a kid waiting for his daddy to return from his third tour. The man finally came.
He's sitting on the stoop waiting.
Holding a football and a fucking white tuxedo. He came inside and briefly checked the house. He said he needed to check outside. I waited for 20 minutes, and when he returned, he simply told me, "Nah, we can't do it." Why, I inquired, as if Daddy told me that he preferred going to war versus spending time with me, and that he'd be returning for another tour, this time for pleasure. "The building next door is in the way," he bleats.
It's like a goat.
Okay, I'm dumbfounded. What? He shows me a picture of the telephone pole on the other side of the building that apparently is the source of my much-needed fiber. and you can't get it to my building? No, he says, as if it's a foregone conclusion. Let me stress to you now that my building is a mere 40 feet from this pole. We'd have to build it to get to your house. And so he says, okay, so can you build it? I can't believe I'm walking him through the process. And he says, no, it's too expensive. And I said, are there no other places to get the connection? And he walks over to the other side of my house and we stand at a window. He points to the pole, another pole that's approximately 40 feet in the other direction, clearly hooked up to the house across the street. I can't see through the windows, but if I could, I would have seen them laughing to themselves about how fast they were able to torrent episodes of Westworld. They probably know what happens at the end of season 4 by this point, and they haven't even shot it yet. That pole, he says bluntly. And I said, okay, we can't connect to that one. We both stare out the window like two lovers pining over the same woman. This is the first time in my life that I found a pole attractive. I can't stress enough how close it is. We're literally looking at it from my window. No, he says. The man exits my house, leaving me like a feudal serf, able to see the castle grounds, but never to attain royal status. Amir, I feel your pain.
Jesus Christ. I don't...
So this guy lives even closer to Fiverr than me. He's like across the street. He can see the pole 40 feet from his house. And the guy's like, yeah, it can't connect because there's a building in the way.
What are they talking about? Isn't it a fucking wire?
Like, it is a wire.
It goes from the pole to the house. Like, how much closer does a pole need to be?
I guess if
the point is that you have the wire.
I guess the wire can't cross the street. Like, the wire can go to the building next to it, but not, like, cross the street over the street, a single wire, maybe not.
That does make sense. I mean, you don't really see that. You don't see that when you're driving down the street.
Yeah, wires that cross. San Francisco. But, like, I mean, I'm sure there are wires that cross the street, right? We completely ignore wires, but they must be everywhere.
I guess it bumps me a little bit, the notion of seeing a wire crossing the street, but it must exist.
Yeah, and then the idea that this guy ordered it, they said it was available, and he still couldn't get it. Really makes me think that your theory of just get slow internet and then upgrade it, hopefully they can just plug it into your house, makes me very skeptical.
Yeah, but at the same time, what do you have to lose? Or, sorry, what the hell do you my have fast, to lose?
My fast weekend speed.
I see. But, like, if you ask them to come and connect the slow internet, he comes, you say, why don't you just do the fast one? He says, no. Then you could just be like, you know what? Never mind. Don't do anything then.
You clearly aren't interested in giving me fiber. Yeah, like, we can't do that.
I'm starting to think
it won't work.
I don't even think that really wastes his time that much because, like, he doesn't care if he installs the internet or not, clearly.
You know?
He doesn't get paid per connection.
No,
not at
all. He gets
to just go and you're like, you know what? Can you do fast? He says, no. Then you're like, fine. Then I'm going to keep Spectrum or keep Time Warner, whatever the hell you have. And then that's it. Why not try? Why not just give it a shot?
All right. So I'll ask to install internet. They'll say fiber's not available. I'll say, fine, whatever. Just come and install the 18 megabytes down. Then when the guy gets here, I'll just play dumb and be like, you said it was fiber.
Yes. Have you ever, there's like a hack.
It's a bait and switch, but in my favor.
Yeah. There's a hack in California that I've used twice. Cause you know, like they have those old school furnaces that take like a pilot light.
Mm-hmm.
There was one time where, oh wait, no, I think I only used it once, but like the pilot light on my furnace went out and they didn't, like the LADWP didn't have, or the gas or whatever it is, couldn't come out to my house for like 2.5 weeks. So meanwhile, I had no heat or hot water for 2 weeks. And it was like California winter. So it wasn't like unbearably cold, but it was like very uncomfortable in the house, you know? Like,
yeah, like
below
50s.
50 degrees. Yeah. And then you have to take a freezing cold shower. So then during that time, I learned that if you say you smell a gas leak, they have to come immediately. And then once they're there, you could be like, can you turn on the pilot light just while you're here? And
interesting. So why don't I take that to an extreme? I'll just fucking call 911.
They say, I'm having a heart attack.
I think I can't breathe. And then when they get here, I'd be like, I'm feeling fine. Can you actually install fiber?
No, you say, I like, okay, you call them, you say, I can't get up. I need help. And then they come and then you show them your computer. Like, see, I can't get up. I can't get above 15 down and one up.
Oh, so when you said I can't get up, you meant I can't get fast upload speeds.
It wasn't even a lie.
All right, how about this? Hostage situation. So I pay an actor on Craigslist to hold up my house. I'll be like, just fucking do whatever he wants. And they're like, what the fuck do you want? A fucking getaway car, $1 million, a helicopter? What is it? And he's like, I just want this house to have fucking fiber. And then they're like, I can't do that. The building is across the street. He's like, I don't give a shit. Find a way.
And then he's like so method that he kills you.
Yeah, but I'm buried in high-speed internet, so I don't even fucking give a shit.
It was worth it.
Bury me in 1,000 up. By the way, while we're talking about all this stuff, my brother was like, oh, yeah, I guess my internet's a little slow up in San Francisco, and upgraded his to Sonic Fiber, which isn't available in Los Angeles. So at the very least, Ben Blumenrose has speeding high internet because of me. I'm glad I can help him out.
That is really cool.
Actually, I'm going to my parents' house tomorrow for the first time. We're going to go outside in their backyard, maybe swim in their pool.
Oh.
And I'm going to check to see how fast their internet is, because there might be a way I can siphon some of it without the old man finding out.
Is there a speed that your parents' internet could be that would make you move home?
Imagine internet so fast you live with your dad for it.
your mom's doing your laundry, cooking dinner again, and guess what? You're getting fucking blazing hot speed from the guest room.
I would be so jealous of my mom if she had 200 megabytes up and she didn't even fucking stream Mario Kart for it.
No, your mom, she has been streaming. She has been streaming.
Oh, yeah. She has that Twitch channel.
Yeah. She does a Twitch for Earwolf.
Yeah, she got an Elgato HD S Plus, and she's been playing Fortnite with a bunch of tweenagers.
Do you think you'll do masks when you are in the backyard with the parents, or are you going to be like so far away that is fine?
Yeah, I think we'll mask it up until we get to the backyard, and then once we're there and we're like 6 to 10 feet away, that'll be far enough of a distance plus outside for me to feel like at least we're taking it easy.
Yeah, that is nice. So you haven't seen your parents since March?
No, I have. They've like, sometimes they drop off some stuff, or I'll go over there and pick up some stuff, but never like in an extended time.
I see. So tomorrow's the first time you'll spend time with them.
Yeah. And also yesterday was the first time I went to a friend's house. I went to Jesse's backyard and we played video games from 10 feet apart from each other. So starting to creep back. Much like the protesters behind me, I'm starting to creep back into normal life to see what that's going to feel like.
Right. It's funny that like playing video games from 10 feet apart outside with your friend is normal life. Like,
yeah, with a face shield.
That's how much we miss just like fucking human interaction, that I'll be like, oh, okay, you know what? If I can just be on a roof and be 15 feet away and we can wave, that'll be good enough.
I think you can do that, seemingly safe. There's all this stuff about the outdoors being nice and distance being nice, and it feels like, unless you're like standing really close to someone who actually has it and they're coughing and hacking, you're relatively safe, all things considered.
Yeah, we've been doing that like a little bit, just like hanging out on stoops in New York City, like from 10 feet away, or like distant, going on walks and stuff. Yeah.
Distant hangs,
all outside. I haven't been in anyone's apartment in like 3 months. That's fucking crazy.
Oh god, no, you definitely can't be in a house.
No,
and forget about any high-rise office buildings. That's a no-go.
Well, I go to the HeadGum office because no one else does.
That's right. And that's the 97th floor of the Freedom Tower.
God, I wish. That'd be awesome.
We own an 18,000 square foot loft.
You have not gone into the HeadGum office in LA, right?
I went there last week for a Zoom interview for Buckets basketball podcast.
Oh yeah, you had to. You can't do a fucking Zoom interview.
No, God, are you kidding me?
Did you have the director of The Last Dance on it?
Yeah, Jason Hayer was on Buckets. Me and Billy talked to him. Yeah, he's a huge Jake and Amir fan.
Interesting. Why didn't he interview us for the fucking the Jordan doc?
Why didn't he interview us for the Jordan doc? Because we had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, but I would have participated and he would have got a chance to meet my ass.
Yeah, he met hundreds of basketball players, actual people who are involved with Michael Jordan. He talked to Scottie Pippen, Phil Jackson, Jerry Reinsdorf. Yeah,
I could have been in the Obama episode. I obviously shouldn't be in like a basketball heavy episode because I don't really have much to say.
You have no connection.
That subject.
Yeah, you were barely watching. Did you even watch Jordan play on TV?
I was saying I could be in the Obama episode. That's why.
Yeah, the Obama episode was like the first episode. It was a pretty big like leaping off point, talking to people who are of importance in Chicago at the time.
Well, I wouldn't have anything to really say about Chicago.
I know.
But I could.
Yeah.
I was going to say I could wax on other sports.
You don't even like Michael Jordan that much, actually. You're a huge LeBron fan, so your interview would just be like, I think Bron's the GOAT. I didn't really
LeBron
watch
is
basketball.
The GOAT. That's why it'd be a sort of interesting take, because I also think that Roger Federer's the GOAT. And
so see, this is exactly why. I think
it's worth considering other GOATs sports-wise.
He said he didn't even interview LeBron James about it because he wasn't involved in the NBA then. Why would he interview somebody who actually never grew up watching or playing basketball?
Other people that have been in that show weren't involved in the NBA. Like, Barack Obama was not in the NBA.
Not, you don't have to bring up the Obama one. The Obama one was because he's the president. He lived in Chicago. He has a personal connection to MJ. He has a personal connection to the city. Don't forget about Obama. Okay. Nobody else had nothing to do with Chicago or the NBA or Michael Jordan. And you couldn't have been in the Obama episode.
I probably, if he had asked me... If he had asked me to do it, I would have been like, I don't know what I could possibly
say.
Like, give. Yeah. Like, I would have.
You would have declined the interview request?
And I don't think I would have declined. I would have come up with something kind of like eloquent and meaningful on the day. I would have just like pulled something out of my ass.
So let's say, hey, what do you think of Michael Jordan? Did you watch him growing up?
I like LeBron, the steal, the block. The shot, the chase down,
type of shit. So you watched a basketball game in 2016 and you want to be in a part
of that. I have a Hanes beefy tee.
Nice. Because Jordan was the spokesperson or?
Because he's what?
Never mind. Forget it. All right. That's a wrap. That's a cut. Thank you so much for coming.
Did I give you anything usable, sir?
I'm not even wearing a mic. A Jordan, as I call it.
I trip over the craft service table. Oh! Oh! Fuck!
You land on Tony Kukoc. Sir, who the fuck are you?
You tall drink of water. You clumsy ass. You pushed me into this Ritz cracker stand.
Did you finish The Last Dance?
No, I think I'm on episode 9 right now.
Oh, wow. No spoilers.
It's wonderful, beautiful, beautiful doc.
Well-made doc. And shout out to Jason. You can listen to the whole interview on headgum.com. Cool. All right, we're at the halfway point.
Whoa.
Let's take a break and thank some sponsors. And we'll be back with real questions and answers after this.
Later.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite? Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah, mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike, like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah, All right, cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all of these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace.
Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test. I am certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar, but for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast,
super simple. It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but questions. I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah, kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
That's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, and then they ship you the mattress. And all mattresses come with a 10 or 15 year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz and you get 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is HELIXPARTNER20, all one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. It starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you.
And we have returned.
Hola.
Jake, do you have any?
Yeah, you know what? I do.
Really?
Naps. Naps, folks.
You pro, you anti? Is it new to you?
It is. I'm pro. It's not new, but I did just recognize how powerful they can be. A 10-minute nap really goes a long way.
Interesting.
Like, I feel like there's times when I'm like, feel like I'm tired and burnt out, and I'm like, I could take a nap, but then I'm like, no, I'm too wired, I won't be able to sleep. For example, I was feeling like that yesterday. Just feeling like really like tired, but also a little like frantic, manic energy. Just like, I couldn't focus on one thing. It felt like there was a million things on my mind that I like couldn't quiet down. Which is, to me, I'm like, that's the last, like, I won't be able to sleep. But then I like put my head down, I shut my eyes, and in like 2 minutes, I was out. I just
passed out.
Like a power nap, 10, 15 minutes, fully recharged. I woke up and I'm like, wow, I'm really glad I did that. So
interesting.
I think taking a nap when you think you shouldn't or you think you can't actually helps.
Do you remember what time that nap was?
That was at 11:45 p.m. And so I napped from around then until like 9.
Right. That's sleep. You had a 10-hour overnight.
Okay.
That's not a quote power nap.
Okay.
That's, you were tired because the day was over.
No, that was it. I took I think it was like a 4:35 p.m. nap.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
My rules on nap was like, I try to do it when it's still light out. Like once it's dark, I'm like, I can't nap. And sometimes 5 p.m. is like a winter nighttime nap, which really fucks me up. And then I agree with you. Like, as soon as I hit REM, like, that's enough. Like, it's almost like you're dunking your head underwater into subconscious, and like, you emerge feeling a little more well rested.
There's like diminishing returns, because sometimes a nap can feel so good and you just want to give in, and you're like, I'll sleep for an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you wake up and you're like, I'm this is weird. It feels like you're waking up in the middle of the night and you're really out of sorts. I think a 10 minute nap is like a fucking, it's like taking a limitless pill.
Although I will say, I think the 10 minute naps that I'm talking about and you're talking about only exist like when you also got a full night of sleep. Like if you only slept 2 to 4 hours the night before because something went terribly wrong, you probably need more than that 10 minute extra recharge.
Definitely. Yeah.
We're talking about after a full night of sleep, but then also a full day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely after a full, like an active day.
Yeah. A little turbo boost to get you to the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I have I've grown to recognize the kind of tired that I need to have to fall asleep. Like there's some that just like, I feel kind of like exhausted, but not necessarily sleepy. But then like there are certain levels of tired that I reach where I'm like, oh, I feel myself like sinking into the bed, sinking into the subconscious, sinking into the REM.
Yeah. Wait, you're talking that with like a nap or just in general?
With a like pre-nap, I've come to recognize what kind of tired requires a nap and what kind of is just general, maybe more boredom than exhaustion.
Yeah. I think in these last few months, I've like just learned to just give in to sleep when I feel it coming.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah. Like, oh, I'm getting tired. I could sleep. I'm going to do it. And then I just instantly go to sleep.
And then do you wake yourself up?
I mean, if it's a nap, then I can count on myself to wake up in like 10 or 15 minutes. I don't usually set an alarm.
You go to the bed or you do it on a couch?
Couch. I couldn't do a bed nap. That's too much for me. Yeah. Couch nap is perfect. That's all you need.
Yeah. I'm pro couch. For a nap, of course.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see if we can answer some questions.
Let's do it.
People are still in a state of flux, even though they're being locked down. They're still confused about the opposite sex, if you can believe it.
I can.
Here's an interesting one. From a 20-year-old Canadian lady we'll call Alanis.
Nice, like Morissette.
Yeah, my boyfriend of 5 years and I got into an argument weeks ago. Not relationship threatening, but it still irks me today. Back in the 80s or whatever, some countries made couples getting married have blood tests to prove that they weren't related. A couple from Britain, I think, who was in love for years, got tested and they were unknowingly siblings. They were both adopted, so they never had ties to or knew their biological family. Just by chance, they met up, fell in love and stuff. Devastating. But they stayed together and just couldn't have potentially fucked up inbred babies. I agree with their choice to stay together since they didn't develop their love knowing that they were siblings. But my boyfriend was absolutely disgusted by this and said that if we found out we were related, he would leave me, no doubt. So my question is, what would you guys do in such a situation? Should I be mad? Is this a test proving that my boyfriend doesn't love me unconditionally? Jake, if you found out that Jill was your sister, would you still have married her? Thanks, love, Alanis Morissette. What a specific quandary. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think so.
No. Whoa, that was a fast response.
Yeah, I would be really, really surprised. We look so unalike.
That's right. At the very least, cousins.
I do think that like, maybe cousins is too far too. But if we were like loosely related, second cousins, third cousins, I'd think that'd be fine.
Yeah.
If I found out we were brother and sister, that's definitely a deal breaker. That's a game changer. That's an opt-out scenario. But I wouldn't even have to make the choice because Jill would do the exact same thing.
Let's bring her in right now. Shit. She has a completely different answer.
What's up, brother?
No! Fuck. You divorce her, but she ends up getting married to Micah, who doesn't have any problems with it.
I don't know. I think that things like this come up in relationships every once in a while, and it's always kind of weird because like they're like hypotheticals that won't happen that like feel like they create a gap all of a sudden that's like it shouldn't be there anyway. Like, this girl's probably not her boyfriend's sister.
Right.
So it's fine.
It's almost like the guy should have just said, yeah, I would stay with you. And honestly, so should you, knowing full well that this would never come up. You might as well err on the side of unconditional. Oh, absolutely. I would rail my sister knowing that. I would feel so joyed to know that I Frenched my own sister.
Spoken like a guy that doesn't have a sister.
That's true.
I wonder, that's an interesting experiment here. Does this guy have a sister, and do you have a brother? You
know, right, because maybe he's just like, ooh, I don't want to kiss my sister, knowing that he has a sister. But if he doesn't have a sister, then it's like,
you don't really know what it's like.
I won't even shake my sister-in-law's hand, knowing that it's borderline incest.
It's despicable. Disgusting.
And this was before COVID, man.
Jesus.
I will at most bow to somebody across a Thanksgiving table.
Anything beyond that is just uncouth. It's perverted. It's perverse.
Is this a test proving that my boyfriend doesn't love me unconditionally? I guess he doesn't love you unconditionally, because this is a condition that he wouldn't fuck you if you were siblings.
I think there are reasonable conditions that anyone would really agree to. Like, unconditional love is kind of a bizarre concept if you really think about it. Like,
right, like if he found out that he's been murdering animals in his spare time, or like being mean to kids, or like kicking old women as they cross the street, that's something you wouldn't love about him, and that's a condition.
But there's even, I understand that there's aspects of that, like maybe there is something wrong with him that made him kick an old woman that was crossing the street, and it's not that he's not worth loving, it's just that there's something that needs to be fixed, etc., etc. But even that, like, I feel like there's still conditions that you could make that would go so far beyond the pale that you couldn't love them anymore. So unconditional love, in theory, is a farce. In practice, it probably makes a lot more sense, because people don't often do go so far to the extreme.
This is you giving your vows. So, yes, I will stick with you through thick and thin, obviously. But there comes a point, like, I wouldn't fuck my sister, guys. Why am I on trial here?
Here's a 23andMe. Will you spit into this tube? Will you spit into the tube, Jill?
We really should have done this before the ceremony.
I think that it's good, ultimately, that he wouldn't marry you if you were his sister. Apply that to anyone else in the world. You know, like, if your boyfriend was dating somebody else and he found out he was their brother, would you be like, oh, you should stay with them? Or would you be like, you should break up, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard when it's happening to you, when you're your boyfriend's sister and you're like, oh shit, we're related. What are we going to do?
Right.
But I don't know.
All right. Not grounds for dismissal. Seems relatively logical.
It's fine.
In fact, it's good. It's good. Notch in his belt that he's being honest with you.
I think it's good. I think it's ultimately good.
It's actually really good.
It's not really good.
He's a hero, in a way.
Hero, yeah.
Another 20-year-old female who's in Philadelphia.
Oh.
We'll call this one Jewel.
She's from Alaska, man.
Well, America.
Still.
Hey, guys, I've been listening to you since day one and never sent my email, but now I must seek your advice. I'm 20 and I moved to Philly a few months ago, but I have not had the desire to hang out or hook up with anyone. Last week, however, I started talking to the super cute guy from Bumble, and we really want to fuck. Nice. The downside? We're in quarantine. I've been completely isolated for 2 months, but I don't know his situation. I haven't had sex in 8 months and need this dry spell to end. How do I not fuck him? Or is it okay to? He could easily drive to me and we could have a magical time. Or we could get the virus and die. Mm. What do I do? Please help. Thanks. Love you.
I think there's ways to have sex while socially distancing.
Interesting. Outside, you're talking about... Oh, yeah.
Reverse cowgirl or doggy style, where you aren't face to face at all.
Oh, interesting. I know I could probably do it, because I have a 6-foot hog. So, like, I'm still 6 foot away from someone while fucking going to town, because my hog is so long.
Well, 6 feet, you couldn't be 6 feet and go to town and still fucking someone, because actually from 6 feet it would only just touch.
So yeah,
you'd actually have to have a 12-foot hog like I do.
What?
Yeah.
So that way you can be 6 foot long and 6 foot inside someone.
That's right. 12 foot hard.
But when I spit, I can't quite reach your mouth.
I don't know. I think if I were, it's hard for me to give advice because I am like married. I get to live with someone. I have companionship. I think if I were single and I was living by myself, I would have broken the rules. I would have found somebody on one of the dating apps, been like, have you been quarantining? Are you relatively safe? I wear a mask when I go outside. I'm pretty cool. I don't feel sick. I want to see you. I would do that.
Yeah. But would you recommend it? Would you recommend it?
The podcast is called If I Were You. Okay. And I feel like I can't with a straight face tell them not to do this.
And since we're recording this as a video, you feel like you're extra on the spot.
I can't. Yeah, I would do it. I would have. I am sorry. I don't know what to say, man.
Yeah, and this is why she shouldn't do it, because this guy's probably also given into temptation with more than just you, I think.
I think it's definitely worth thinking about that in your calculations, that you might be being honest, but he's solid chance he's lying.
Yeah, and is that fine? There's always a risk. There's always a risk. And I think kissing, maybe sex without kissing is less dangerous because you're not swapping spit. Yeah.
No oral stuff. I mean, just no kissing. Okay, kids?
Yeah. If you go straight to the sex and never actually, and you're both wearing masks.
And if you're fucking, do it on the roof, okay?
Can you do it outside?
Can you do Make it sure. outside?
I mean, there's a bunch of follow-up questions that will raise or lower his risk profile. Does he live with roommates? Do his roommates go to work in a factory? Are they a doctor? Do they come home every night? Does he live by himself? Has he been quarantined? You don't quite know the answers to all this stuff.
And also, like, putting yourself at risk, does that mean, like, that means you're not going to be able to, like, see your parents or see your friends, or you'll, you know, that makes it so you are putting people you love and care about at risk as well.
That's right. If you're going to, like, hang out at an old folks' home, maybe don't have sex with a stranger right now.
Yeah.
I would like to know the people that are getting sick right now in Los Angeles, like, at a hospital today, getting admitted. Have they been as careful as me and just randomly got it on a walk? Or is it like these are people who are going to work every day or providing some essential service and accidentally came in contact with the virus?
I think I heard in New York that most of the new cases were like non-essential workers who had been at home. Like, they don't know exactly where they're catching it, but like, basically people that had been self-isolating, but they're more at-risk people, like people, older people, that type of thing.
I see. So not necessarily. Basically, I want to go one by one to the people who are like, are you like me? Did you stay at home mostly, but you went to Whole Foods once and handled an avocado? Or is it like, are you going to fucking parks and protests and swimming pools and talking to people in public a lot?
Right. Are you wearing a mask outside? I'd love to know.
Yeah, how come they don't have that data?
They must, but I think it's just also fucking messy.
Yeah, we know like the numbers, but we don't know quite the stories behind the numbers. Mm-hmm. Maybe because of privacy laws and stuff like that?
Maybe. I think it's all just also happening in real time. So we can't just like, hey, all the people that got sick yesterday, they were all wearing masks, but like they're all going to different hospitals. Like compiling all that information is hard.
Yeah, unless, I mean, it's probably unlikely, but
you can't do shit.
I'm just thinking outside the butt a little. If I started a Tumblr, or I guess an OnlyFans of sorts, in which I Zoom, or actually I wear a GoPro on my face.
You're making it so convoluted. A Tumblr or an OnlyFans where you have a GoPro or a Zoom. So you haven't decided on any platform, any equipment yet.
And then for $8 a month, I will go door to door at a fucking hospital interviewing people who are sick and ask them their age, their gender, their race, their story. It will be done in privacy. It will be done in confidence. It will be
done in privacy?
It will be done in jest. Yes.
You are jest.
What?
You're infinite jest.
And that I'm long and no one's ever finished me.
That 6 foot hog.
With a 12 foot hose. Yeah, I want some more data is all. I don't know, is that too much to ask?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we all want it.
I thought of an idea for our, we're starting to do bonus videos on our Patreon where we just record this Zoom. So for this Tuesday, remember the idea of us taking an SAT?
Yeah.
So like we get a practice SAT and we start answering, see if we can answer questions from it almost together, sort of dip our toes in the water. Like, do I remember what this fucking analogy is?
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you have an essay? Is it, are we doing, do you have an SAT question right now?
I don't, but for Tuesday, I'm saying we can try to stump each other with SAT questions.
I really like that. Let's see if I can pull up an SAT question.
Okay.
Just want to see
something English or math, verbal or math?
What do you want?
I mean, I want math, but I'm afraid it won't translate very well when you start describing it to me like the sides of a triangle or something.
Right. Okay. So let's do...
a sample verbal. Let's do reading comp and give me 48 minutes to read a fucking story and answer three questions.
Should we do a vocab one?
Okay, a vocab.
All right. Let me see.
I'm trying to think back to my days of studying words from a book called Word Smart. That's like SAT words that are meant to stump you or something.
Okay. Here we go.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
Sullen is to smile as A, gleeful is to joy. Reluctant is to willingness. Respectful is to courtesy. Evasive is to fear. Composure is to conscience.
Wow. So right off the bat, none of them stick out to me. Sullen is to smile. So when you're not sullen, you smile. So I have to say when you're not X, you're Y. So so read when you're not the first word, you are the second word.
Right. Well, sort of. Sullen is to smile.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then give me the options again.
Gleeful is to joy.
When you're not gleeful, you aren't joy. No, that one's not correct.
Right. Reluctant is to willingness.
When you are reluctant, you aren't. Oh, yes, it's that one. Reluctant and willingness. Opposites.
Yes, that's correct.
Yes. I got a 1600.
I think it's correct. I can't click through to the answer. So I think it's correct, though. We should definitely do this. That's very fun.
Yeah. I also...
You're not taking a sample SAT.
I had some weird flashbacks trying to figure this out to my high school days in a cold room. I wonder how people are taking SATs now.
There's a couple of schools I read that weren't using them anymore. Isn't like the USC system going off the SAT?
And, oh, yeah.
They're like just not counting test scores?
Yeah, like University of California schools are not doing that. Yeah. I also saw like the other day, like AP Bio was trending because like kids were taking that AP Bio test online and tweeting about it. I'm like, how do you take an AP test while you're at home using the internet?
Yeah,
that seems risky behavior. God, I would have been cheating so hard.
I'm sure they are.
All right. That's it. That's our time. Let's get this puppy online just in time for Memorial Day. Happy Memorial Day, everyone.
Happy Memorial Day,
fans. The unofficial start of summer. Let's fucking go.
Let's go ham. Let's go out. Let's fucking do this. Let's fuck on a roof, kids.
Go to your friend's house and stay 31 feet away and eat a hamburger through a mask and leave.
Perfect.
The opening theme song was written by Luke. This closing one was written by somebody else. Let's see. Reese Alexander, who made a John Wolfe style song.
Okay. Very interesting.
He has a YouTube channel. He has a YouTube channel called Ignore the Spots to plug. So check out Reese's YouTube channel. And if you have your own questions or theme songs, send them all down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. We still need it all. We're still recording
always
in our own special way. And we'll be back next week. More videos on our Patreon and more of us talking on the HeadGum Podcast.
That's right.
That's Jeffrey James hosting. It's us two. It's Riley. We're going to get some more HeadGum friends and family on there as soon as possible. So subscribe to the HeadGum Podcast.
It's been a mess both times in a fun way, I think.
Yeah. If you guys like this show, you will definitely like that one. So check it out. And we'll be back next week. See you guys. Bye.
Later.
What gets him off is just knowing in the back of his head that people are scrambling.
That he's disrupting.
Yeah, the status quo. Things are different because of him and always for the worse.
He's a villain.
Yeah, he's a villain. He's a social villain for sure. There's a lot of it is just me being a public nuisance, a dickling, and a chaos creator.
Yeah, and then I'll howl at the moon and he'll say, I am John Wolfe.
How is he still around? How is he still alive? How is he not in jail? Because technically none of the things he's doing is illegal.
Yeah, John Wolfe went to a crowded pool and pooped in it. He actually passed the buck onto a 75-year-old.
And then they suspected Wolfe, and they tested the feces, and it was hers. He must have...
He tampered with the evidence.
I don't know, dude.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Hmm? Okay, I will. Can you do that? So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.